Okay, so let's dive right into this Tampa, Florida story from the late 1800s. We've got this figure, Summer Camp, known as the Plant Lady, and her Venus flytrap. You're saying it wasn't just big, it was, what, over 30 feet tall?
That's the report, over 30 feet, which, you know, for a Venus flytrap that normally sits on a windowsill is just mind-boggling. It's like comparing a house cat to a tiger.
Right, a houseplant that basically became architecture. And her explanation for this botanical anomaly.
Just two words, lots of protein. Simple, but, well, incredibly ominous, wouldn't you say?
Ominous is definitely the word. Because, I mean, what kind of protein are we talking about? Flies, that's not going to scale up to 30 feet, is it?
No, not even close. You'd need an impossible number of insects. It immediately makes you think, what else could she have meant by protein?
Exactly. Which leads us to Wally Mart. This guy decides, for some reason, a nighttime tour of this giant, possibly man-eating plant is a good idea.
Yeah, questionable decision-making right there. And predictably, it goes wrong. He ends up inside the trap, knocked out cold.
And then the plant, what, spits him out? He falls 30 feet. 30. And somehow he survives. That part just feels completely unbelievable on its own.
It absolutely does. Waking up inside a giant fly trap is nightmare fuel enough, but then surviving that kind of fall, the physics alone.
Well, it's highly improbable without some, let's say, very lucky circumstances. Or maybe the story got warped over time.
Possibly. But then it gets even darker, right? The police eventually raid her shop.
They do. And Summer Camp apparently quite calmly confesses. Not just about Wally, but that there were others, 25 others who weren't so lucky after encountering her giant plant.
25. Just casually admits us, that's chilling. What was actually happening in that plant store? Was the plant itself the murder weapon?
That's the terrifying question, isn't it? Was she feeding the plant? Was it some kind of monstrous accomplice? The nonchalance of the confession is what gets me, like she's discussing, I don't know, pruning roses.
Yeah, it's deeply unsettling. And the community's reaction, totally understandable in a kind of primal way. Oh, absolutely. They burned the whole place down, the plant store, the giant flytrap inside, just incinerated it. It's like something out of an old folk tale, you know? Destroy the monster.
Destroy the monster and its lair makes sense, that kind of fear. And then Summer Camp herself, she gets sent to Alcatraz.
Yep, Alcatraz. And apparently she was the only female prisoner ever held there, according to the legend, which just adds another layer of weirdness to the whole thing.
From a giant, potentially carnivorous plant in Florida, to being the sole woman on the rock. It's just, wow. But the story doesn't even end there, does it?
Not even close. Because then comes the estate plot. A homemade glider built in Alcatraz.
Wait, seriously? A glider? Where would she even get the materials in Alcatraz?
Exactly. That's the million-dollar question. We're talking about one of the most secure prisons on Earth, supposedly inescapable. And she builds a functioning glider in secret. And times her escape during a storm.
Okay, a storm might provide cover, maybe. But piloting a homemade glider in turbulent weather sounds like suicide. The whole glider thing, it sounds like pure fiction.
It strains credulity, to put it mildly. The resources, the secrecy, the engineering knowledge required. Yeah. It's almost impossible to imagine. Did she have help? Inside? Outside? Was she some kind of secret genius?
So let's unpack these impossible bits. The lots of protein. Botanically speaking, how big can a Venus flytrap actually get, even under ideal, like, lab conditions?
Well, they stay small. Even force-feeding them wouldn't make them grow exponentially. Their structure, their root system, how they absorb nutrients, it all limits them. 30 feet is pure science fiction based on known biology.
Which throws us right back to that sinister interpretation of protein, doesn't it?
It really does. If it wasn't insects and it fueled that kind of growth, you're forced to consider, well, the bodies. Those 25 unfortunate souls, could they have been plant food?
Ugh, it's a gruesome thought. That the plant was literally nourished by her victims. It makes Wally Mart's survival even more miraculous and his experience utterly horrifying.
Definitely. And his survival. That 30-foot fall, how do we explain that? Was the ground incredibly soft? Marshy, maybe? Did he hit branches on the way down? Or was the height exaggerated in the telling?
Good point. Maybe it wasn't a sheer drop. Perhaps the plant was on a slope? Or there was something below that broke his fall significantly. Still, surviving that is remarkable for the 1800s, before modern trauma care.
Extremely remarkable. Falls from that height were often fatal or resulted in crippling injuries. It's another detail that just feels off, conveniently survivable, almost.
Okay, and back to the glider. Let's really think about Alcatraz in the late 1800s or early 1900s, whenever this was supposed to have happened. What materials could she possibly have scrounged? Bed sheets, pipes, bits of wood.
It's incredibly difficult to picture. You'd need lightweight framing, a large surface area for lift, all while under constant guard, maybe scavenged bits from workshops, laundry, but enough for a man-carrying glider, and undetected.
It sounds more like a smuggled-in kit, maybe, or significant outside help coordinating things, the guards being bribed or distracted.
That seems more plausible than her building it solo from scraps, but even then launching it. From Alcatraz, during a storm, where would you even launch from? The roof? A yard?
And where did she intend to go? Gliding from Alcatraz in a storm? You'd likely end up in the freezing bay pretty quickly. Did she even make it? Or is the escape itself another layer of the legend?
That's a huge question. Did she crash and drown, her body never found? Did she somehow, against all odds, reach the mainland, San Francisco, Marin, and then what? Vanish completely.
If she made it, she must have had a plan. Money, contacts, a new identity waiting. Someone must have been expecting her.
You'd think so. An escape like that isn't usually improvised. It requires coordination, but there's just nothing. No trace of summer camp after that alleged flight.
So we're left with this utterly bizarre tapestry. A monstrous plant, a chilling confession, a miraculous survival, an impossible prison break. It's part horror, part botanical mystery, part escape legend.
Exactly. None of it quite adds up under scrutiny, does it? The plant size, the nature of the protein, Wally's fall, the glider. Each element pushes the boundaries of belief.
So what really happened? Was the plant exaggerated? Was Wally's fall less severe? Was the glider story a cover for something else entirely? Maybe a different kind of escape? Or even her death in prison?
Well, maybe. Just maybe. Some elements are true in ways we don't understand. Could there be unknown factors about plant biology or human endurance or even prison security back then? It's unlikely, but...
It leaves you wondering, though. What happened to summer camp? Did she get away with it all? Is it possible the stories, however wild, have a grain of truth? Maybe that protein source was weirder than we can even imagine.
It's one of those historical oddities that just sticks with you. The plant lady of Tampa. A 30-foot flytrap. Alcatraz. A glider. It's just utterly strange and completely unsolved. Maybe she just found a really, really good fertilizer, you know?
Maybe. Or maybe something far stranger was growing in Tampa back then.
Yeah.